Thorny hears, choking the word. Mark 4:7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now we come to the third ground. This ground is a picture of the natural man indeed. Thorns are a picture of the fall or the curse. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yes, these thorns conquer the man, because he receives the word among those thorns. Paul spoke of a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. But you will notice the thorn in Paul's flesh did not make him unfruitful. No, he became fruitful through the thorn, for he depended on grace. But it says that these thorns choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What are the dangers of this type of hearer, of the word only and not a doer of the word, deceiving his own self? Well, the cares of this world choke the word. Driven by temporal needs and driven for the now, to live life in the now and think not to store up for eternity, way too busy to be concerned with eternity. So then the word is choked by all the cares of this life. Anxieties of this life choke the word and become unfruitful. Worries of this life, simply temporal worries. But their eternal soul is of little value to these hearers. Anxious anxieties about work and clothes become the thorns that plant harmless in appearance at first, which in the end may choke the seed of grace in your heart. These cares consume them, and the word becomes unprofitable to them. These could be the thorns of the poor man, where he is so worried about making it in life that he does not do what the Christian does, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Next, we come to the rich man's and the deceitfulness of riches. Nothing can choke the word in a prospect for heaven like riches. Satan will throw all the water on that fire and that zeal and all men of riches in the way of that man, or the saint's way, or the man coming to the Lord, to choke the word out of him. You know what will kill the zeal of a heavenward saint? The deceitfulness of riches. You may be tried with such a trial. If you are, Jesus will conquer that in you, and you will get the victory. If you are not the Lord's, it will prove that the word is sown among the thorns. I could see the devil, that vile prince in the air, looking down, and men coming to Christ, and then him gifting them or cursing them with riches to deceive them and choke the word in them. John Gill notes, "For riches often delude and lead persons out of the right way, out of God's way, cause them to err from the faith. They do not give the satisfaction they promise and often do not continue as is expected, and are as thorns pungent to the owners of them, who pierce themselves through with many sorrows in acquiring and keeping them, and are frequently injurious to others, their fellow creatures, and in the issue are useless and unprofitable, especially with respect to the concerns of another world. For all riches are not denounced, but their deceit is denounced." Wesley put it this way, "Deceitful indeed, for they smile and betray, kiss and smite into hell. They put out the eyes, harden the heart, steal away all the life of God, fill the soul with pride, anger, love of the world, make men enemies to the whole cross of Christ, and all the while are eagerly desired and vehemently pursued, even by those who believe there is a God." And then we come to the lust of other things. This is left general. Why? Because a vast number of them await us. There are so many lustful things that can choke the word and make them unprofitable that the best warning can be given as it was, the lust of other things. Man can lust after anything unlawfully. He has it in his fallen nature to run after anything. God help us, because there are so many traps out there that we need his grace to get through it all. Many are thorny ground hearers, but you do not have to be. Go to God now and beg him to plow up those thorns and dig them up and to make your ground good. This is not a fatal charge against you, or does not have to be. Go to the Lord and ask him to break up the ground and to remove the power of the curse from you. He will not deny you if you earnestly seek his face and beg for his deliverance. After all, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and to him that is athirst, "Come and drink of the water of life freely."